Let's talk about the right focus today. You know, you guys have heard this before. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, right? You've heard that expression before. You know, as a Christian, I personally have a hard time keeping the focus on the main thing. And I think all of you guys are the same way. We're made out of the same flesh. And it's easy to drift. It's very easy to float. I find it, especially I'm on vacation and I'm not thinking so much about the Lord. I'm thinking about the things that we're doing and different things like that. And you get a little separated. It's real easy. You know, take prayer for instance. Especially you're praying by yourself. And this happens to me a lot. You set your mind, you begin to pray, you get your concentration going. It's real sharp. The first few words and even the very first few sentences you give to God. Thank you, Lord. A minute later, you're thinking, did I turn off the stove, right? Do I need to go shopping today? And I begin in the middle of my prayer life, I'm making a shopping list of what I have to do. But that's the way we are. And I think that you agree with me, as believers, the spiritual things are even more difficult. We have things to focus on, like that fan that is making noise right now. Anybody packing today, you know? We're going to ignore the fan. We're not going to focus on that. I'll focus up here, you guys. Yeah. But I think you'll agree with me that things are hard to focus on sometimes. I mean, you go do a task and sometimes you get pulled in three or four different ways. But the spiritual things are even more hard to focus on. They're much more hard to focus on. And why is that? Is our flesh nature? Is it because what we're made out of? Can you blame it on the devil? Probably. Can you blame it on the world, the tug of the war, of your phone? How about that? I mean, all of us, we know that we have problems with the phone sometimes. Sometimes I'll leave it at home just to get away from it because, you know, I'm constantly checking this or the messages come through. I'm into news. I like news, and so I'm constantly doing that. Paul, he has not visited this church, this Colossian church, but he's wanted to share his personal experience with the right focus. We're going to see this all the way through the book, what to focus on. He has put to the test, as God has put him to the test, what is the right focus that's in him. All his experience, he wants to lay into the Colossian church. You know, later on in chapter 3, he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So he knows how our walk depends on the right focus. Do you guys agree with that? The right focus is how your walk tends to go. The church is doing good. The Colossian church is doing good. He wants to push it along a little bit further. He was always into doing that. Epaphras, who we think started the church, has declared to Paul that their love in the Spirit and their fruitfulness is really gaining. They're doing good. They're growing. But now Paul wants to add to this. He does that in the form of a prayer for the church. You'll go back to verse 9 and it says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So we're going to see some things in here that they're praying for the Colossian church. And he will follow through and teach the church about the right focus. So we're going to look at three things in this short section. We're going to go from verse 9 to 23. We're going to look at the right focus. We want to look at that. We want to look at the right power. That's the first thing we're going to look at, the right power. And then we're going to look at us. We're going to look at you, because he speaks about that. So let's look at the right power first. And because before we talk about the right focus, you need to talk about the right power. You will often hear from this pulpit and hear from others in the church that we need God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You guys have heard me say this before. I've said it to individuals. I've said it to myself. I need God to do for me what I can never do for myself. We need supernatural power above and beyond our natural abilities to keep the right focus. Paul continues in his prayers for the church. He says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's part of the prayer he started in verse 9. He says, walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, always being fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Seems impossible, doesn't it? I mean, when you look at that, just as he's saying, it seems impossible. But look at verse 11. He said, strengthened with what? All might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. Paul does not depend on himself to accomplish this. Very lofty goals. Those are goals that we should have in our life. These lofty goals. He doesn't depend on his power, but listen what he says. His glorious power. Failure comes when we depend on ourselves. It really does. The more you concentrate on yourself, the worse it gets. Believe me, I went down the road. You guys have probably noticed it about yourself. But his glorious power, and that comes with patience, long-suffering, and joy. All of those good things are packed in to the power of God. When we look to ourselves, all that comes out of that is, when we look at ourselves and concentrate on ourselves, let me tell you, misery and disaster. It will, if you go down that road. Jesus said that if you seek to gain your life, you're going to lose it. But if you seek to lose your life, and you know, where do you lose your life? As you put your life into Jesus Christ. If you seek to lose your life, you're going to gain it. And the opposite, if you seek all about yourself and you're thinking all about yourself and it's all about yourself, you're going to be miserable. You will be miserable. You're going to find yourself short with people. You're going to find yourself short with yourself, condemning yourself, knowing that you're not depending on his glorious power. You know, the right focus depends on the right power. It does. The right focus depends on the right power. So he goes on in verse 12, continuing in this prayer. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So it is in God who qualifies us. You're going to notice all the way through this section that Paul really, and we will talk about us at the end of this, he's not talking about us doing anything. He's talking about God doing it for us. So it's God who has qualified us to be partakers. Now pay attention to these next two verses, 13, 14. He, and my emphasis will be in my voice, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You notice the focus is not on Paul. It's not on himself. It's on the Lord. So he has delivered us, and the blood of his forgiveness of sins, that's toward us. So from verse 10 through 14, Paul makes it clear, it's not of your power or your abilities, your efforts that can bring about these amazing changes in your life. We are so frustrated most of the time because we depend on our own power. I have learned not to trust in myself. I mean, I'm serious about that. I could be really flying high with the Lord 1 minute, and the next minute I'm out the door. I mean, I've seen it with my flesh. But it's really important that we don't depend on our own power, but this glorious power that the scriptures bring about in these first few verses. So God wants to free us up from ourselves and understand that we cannot do this without him. We need the Lord to do these things in our life. Jesus said, what? Without him, what can we accomplish? Nothing. That's a big fat zero. You can't accomplish anything without the Lord. So the right power is necessary before we speak about this right focus. Now, when we understand the right power, is necessary, and I think you guys will agree with me generally. We need to understand the right focus, because the right focus brings about the right power. It's circular. It's very circular. The right focus brings about the right power. The right power brings about the right focus. And what is the right focus? Verse 15, it says, he is. Just think about that for a minute. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So notice Paul is shifting gears now. He's saying all these good things about what God has done in our life, but he's going to emphasize the power of God. The power of God. You know, we have puny thoughts about God. We do. We have very puny thoughts about God. We look at our problems, and our problems become much taller than God. And God is so far above all that. We need to expand our thinking about God. We need to let loose on that. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That right focus is Jesus. That's who you set your focus on, is Jesus. When you set your focus on Jesus, you're setting your heart on God. You're setting your heart on God. Jesus said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, he is the visibility of the invisible God, the image of the invisible God. Remember Philip, well, just show us the Father. Just show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now, we might not, and I do not, fully understand the Trinity. I don't understand how all of that works. I understand, I believe it. I believe there's separate, three separate individual personalities in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All God, all Jesus became human, but he was fully God. We might not understand the Trinity, but if you want to see God, what you're going to do is you're going to turn your eyes on the four Gospels to see Jesus. Everything you see about him is what the Father would do. He never made a mistake. He exactly duplicated. If the Father was to come down, and God forbid, it says that no one has ever saw the face of the Father, at least they perish. But God, if God the Father was to come down, he would be the same. He would do the same things, because Jesus duplicated and was in the full will of the Father. I don't understand the Trinity. I really don't. I've tried for years and years and years. Sometimes you get a little glimpse and you get amazed at it. How can that happen? And what is this? And how much more, you know, with the creation and all these different things. But God took on the body, and in him, though, the fullness of the Father dwells. The fullness. You know that he was restrained. He restrained himself, but the fullness of. You know, when Moses saw the backside of God in the desert, they had to put a veil on his face because it was so bright. It was so bright. You know, I think about the veil of the temple. You guys understand what the veil was for? The veil of the temple was to keep people out from the glory of God. That no man should be able to go in there unless he goes through these elaborate sacrifices, the blood and different things, and then the high priest could go in there for a little bit and do his thing and get out of there. But the focus on that veil was to prevent people from seeing the full glory of God. And I thought about it, you know, Jesus Christ had the fullness of God in him. And the only thing that kept back the fullness that we would see is his own flesh. That was the veil that he came down in. So God took on a body, but in him was the fullness of the Father dwelt. So the right focus is Jesus. So verse 16, it says, by him. So we looked at it before, is that, let me go back to it, in him, or he is, that one. Now we're going to see by him. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So we see in Genesis, what was the first words? Let there be what? Let there be light. You understand that was Jesus speaking. That was Jesus speaking in the Trinity. He is the Word of God. So when the Word came out, let there be light, we see that it's Jesus. All things were created by Him. All things were created through Him. And we know that all things were created for Him. So that when we set our eyes on Jesus, when we put our focus on Jesus, we're looking to the Creator of all things. When you're petitioning God and when you're calling upon Jesus, you're not petitioning Washington, D.C., or your governor or your mayor or anything like that. You're petitioning as high as you can go. So all things were created by Him, all things were created through Him, and all things were created for Him. So when we set our eyes on Jesus, you're looking to the Creator of all things. Actually, He created you. He created you very specifically. You know, when that the egg and the sperm meet, you have that DNA mixing. And the Lord has mixed it in a certain way. I don't know how He does it. If you ever get into DNA, it's an amazing thing. It's just, it's a digital computer, man. I mean, it's really amazing how complex it is. But He mixed it just right. You're perfect. You are perfect in His eyes. And He created you. He created you. So the very things that we're petitioning God about, we go right to the source of who created you and who created me. So you were created by Jesus. So He's the Creator of all things. So that's another focus. And then another one in verse 17, and it says, He is, Paul is emphasizing who God is here. He is before all things. In other words, literally, that before all things even existed, He was prominent above all things. He was there before anything existed. I have a hard time thinking about that, too. That's a little lofty for me. But He is before all things, and in him all things consist. So everything is wrapped up into Jesus. Now, think about this. You can focus on a lot of different things in your life. Your problems, you can focus on your needs, you can focus on your prayers, you can focus on all these different things. But what Paul is saying here is that the real focus is to focus on Jesus Himself. Does this sound familiar? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, or the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John wrote that in the very beginning of his gospel. So by Him, all things consist, or all things created. So when you put your eyes on Jesus, you're focusing on the very essence of everything that you need. It's almost like, you guys know what when they shoot light through a prism, it breaks into many different colors. When we focus on the Lord, you know, we're focusing on that. Many things, manifold things get accomplished in our lives. Instead of accomplishing those individual things, you know what I'm saying? You could go to those individual things and with your own strength and try and accomplish those things. But when you focus on Jesus, you focus on the source of everything that you're going to need. Then he goes in verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. So He is the head of our church. He is the head of the general church. Who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things He might have the preeminence. So He's above all things. He's above the church, but He is above all. He's above all the governments. He's above all the governments, all in the world. Everyone is going to bow to Jesus Christ. All the governments, every knee is going to bow, every person is going to bow, that He might have the preeminence. There is nothing above Him. There is nothing above Him. So that's why the right focus is the right focus, is that there's nothing above Him. All the governments, all the political powers, all the people, all the concerns, all of your cares, all of your worries are subservient to Jesus Christ. All of those things, He's above all those things. And he's aware of all those things too. He's aware of what you're thinking right now. He's aware of what your needs are right now. You know, we know that he has said that the Father is aware of the prayers that you pray way before you even pray them. He knows what your needs are. So you're focusing on the greatest source of help there is to gain any help when you focus on Jesus Christ. In him, that is in verse 19, in him, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Even when he took on a body form, all the fullness of God was in him. Whatever weakness he endured, they were self-imposed. They were self-imposed. When you think about it, you know, they say, well, Jesus Christ, he died for our sins. You know, we put Jesus on the cross. No, he put himself on the cross. He allowed that to happen for us. So whatever weakness he endured is self-imposed. Whatever power he demonstrated were according to his will. We know that he could have demonstrated a lot more. People say, well, why didn't he do a lot more? He did a lot of miracles. It was according to his will, how he demonstrated. They did not take it away. They did not take his life away. He laid down his life. So he's above all things. They did not take it away. He gave it freely. Finally, by him, in verse 20, it says, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether they're on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So the purpose of Jesus was to reconcile the world back to the Father, back to God. And when he was on the cross, he drew all of us to himself. And the reconciliation of man to God was only through the sacrifice of the cross, that shedding of blood for the remission of sin. He is all in all. So you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to keep this very simple. He is the right focus. He's the right focus. You can focus on a lot of things. Oh, I got to focus on my prayer life. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying, you know, the Holy Spirit reminds us to pray. The Holy Spirit reminds us to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit reminds us to love our neighbors. Those are good things. But I'm telling you, if you focus on Jesus, those things will come out. Those things will come out. And it's the right focus. I kind of chuckled, though, on because the next verse, and you, right? I kind of chuckled on that. He is, and then we have, and you. We have this little thing that we play with our grandkids when something is really small. We little babies, you know, little babies. That's what we are. We're just little people. Just little people. That's all we are. I mean, we will have this great and powerful God and with all the strength and power, and then we have you. Or me. I'm with you guys. Little bitty you. But listen, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You understand that? You are blameless, above reproach. You know you sin. You know that you're not perfect. You understand all those things. But we need to focus on Jesus. If we focus on Jesus, we won't focus on ourselves. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. God did it all. That's what it's about. God did it all. And that is the power of God working in you. But he qualifies this. He says in verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which it was preached to every creature under heaven, of which Paul, I became a minister. What Paul is saying is verse 23, don't lose your focus. Don't you lose your focus. Don't focus on him. Focus on who's the creator. Focus on who reconciled us back to the Lord. You know, the more you focus on yourself, the devil gets in between all of that. And he begins to tell you you're not worthy. He begins to tell you that he hasn't reconciled you. He reconciled everybody else in the church except for you. Do you ever have that feeling in your heart? Maybe you're blowing it in one way or another, and think about that. But he says in verse 23, just stay focused. Stay focused. That's what it's about, the right focus. Jesus talked about abiding in the vine because we will dry up if we're detached. We know how that is. You cut a plant, that cutting is going to die real shortly. We need to be able to stay in the vine. But let me just kind of wrap this up. Let me just say that all the problems that happen to us is because we take our eyes off of Jesus. It really does. I mean, I've experimented with this. Not in a good way sometimes, but I've experimented with it, that I know the more that I focus on my own life, my own problems, my own sin, my own whatever, it gets worse. It always gets worse. It never gets any better. We begin to put our eyes on ourselves, on others, other things. We lose focus of our purpose and our calling. We forget who we are. We forget that we're children of God. We forget that we're children of the King. We forget that we're going to heaven and that he has prepared a way for us. We lose focus on our purpose and our calling. We forget that we lose the greatness of God in our life when we take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our, you know, if we could do this, this is what Paul is trying to do for the church. I can guarantee you the more you focus on yourself and your sin and your problems, the worse it'll get. You can take that to the bank. That's an old people's expression. You can take that to the bank. The more you focus on yourself and your sin and your problems, the worse it's going to get. We have a very simple walk. God has made it very simple. He said, abide. Abide in the vine. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Focus on the great God who is glorious in power and strength, who has created all things, who is above all things and in all things consists. Why lose sight of Jesus and bring yourself into a mess? That's what happens. It really does. We're to be grounded. We're to be steadfast, not moving away from the hope of the gospel. Does this mean you don't stumble? You know that. You're going to stumble. I stumble all the time. No, but the progress is always forward. It really is. If you look at the progress, it's always forward. Maybe a few steps back and then three steps forward, because we have this glorious power in our lives. But we're always growing in the grace of God. And if we continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, that's what he's saying. Keep the focus, the right focus. We are ministers of the mystery, and we get to warn people and teach people everywhere that they might come to salvation. We become little broadcasting stations by example to the people around us. We preach the gospel and then we live it. We live it because we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. So we looked at the right power. Got to have the right power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to have the right focus, right? The focus is keeping our eyes on Jesus. And you, right? And you. Just minimize you the most you can, because you'll get into trouble. What I think about part of this chapter, it screams grow. That's what it screams, grow. And that's the way we grow, is we keep our eyes on Jesus. We set our minds on the things above. And you know what? He's above everything. He's above everything. So if you're going to set your eyes above, you want to go to the height. You want to go to the glorious height of Jesus Christ and consider what he is, what Paul has just described to us and what he has done. I love this song, and occasionally, I don't think we played it in a while, and it's a little bit more than this, but you guys will recognize it. You ever turn your eyes upon Jesus? Remember this? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that kind of capsulizes what I'm talking about here, is just the right focus.